You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
As a result of everything that I do, you know, I'm able to help family, and a lot of people rely on me working and things moving. So I did take some time to chill and like relax, but in between that, it was a lot of reading and a lot of me figuring out how I could never allow a world event or anything in general collapse my business the way my business had just collapsed. Mm-hmm. Maybe due to a lack of organization, maybe due to a lack of saving or of investing in the right areas. I started really looking at every aspect of my life, right? Why am I broke right now? Because I literally...
Like, trust me, I remember having a couple dollars in my bank account. I'm like, how did I go from having all this money saved up to now I'm literally living paycheck to paycheck.
I remember paying staff or like sending money to people like and being like, dude, there's no money coming in. Like, and all this money's flying out. And if you're not prepared, no matter how much money you make, if you're not prepared, you have a bad 2, 3, 4 months of shit. Like, you saw how many businesses collapsed.
Yeah.
Because they were like, I think it's a Warren Buffett that says, like, you really understand who's swimming naked once the tide recedes. Right. And there's a lot of people swimming naked. Yeah. They were just living off of appearances and they weren't saving or taking care of their health or whatever else, whatever it is that they were doing. You really realized that there. And I took that moment for myself and my family for us to be like, no, not again. This happens again, or anything remotely close to this happens again, we're going to be ready in all aspects, mentally, physically, financially, everything. And I use it as an opportunity to get closer to family and also to learn a lot. So despite the fact that it was a very scary situation, it was one of those back against the wall situations that helped like us rebound. Like ever since the pandemic, as a business, we've done better than we ever have in the last 10 years of us operating the business.
It's that sink or swim. Like, do I let it go and figure something else out, or do I try to keep it alive, get creative and keep it alive?
Yeah. And dude, running a marketing agency is great, but it's not easy.
Definitely not. It's not for the faint of heart. Definitely not.
It's not for the faint of heart. And there's also a lot of like disloyalty from client to agency a lot of the time.
I can see that.
Because you, let's say you come up with these multi, like we sell millions and millions of dollars for our clients per client. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's very easy for a client to just be like, I don't want to work with you anymore, but I'm going to just keep using all the strategies you created. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you can't like say, oh, that's my IP.
That's my IP on some shit that's yours and it's all framed around your stuff. So for us, we've just been always been very chill about it. And we very careful who we work with. That also helped us during the pandemic, like figure out who is the right type of person that we want to work with. Like you before, like you started saying no to gigs, things that didn't serve you right. We started doing that. We started like auditing ourselves. And I think that everything that happened there was a blessing in disguise. A lot of people got hurt and lost family members and went through a lot of horrible things due to all of the things that happened in 2020. We went through some difficult things, but we used it in our favor instead of like letting it bring us down or like dwelling on it. Oh, because there was you would hear all the time people, oh, the pandemic fucked my life up. Oh, the pandemic this. I lost my. Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Get to work.
It messed everybody up. We're all in the same boat.
We all got fucked up, bro. Like you just got to get to work and you got to stop complaining. There's people that are still complaining about what happened in 2020. It's like, dude, we get it.
Yeah.
I got kicked in the nuts.
Everybody collectively understands it. It's going to be funny. Well, I don't know if funny is the word, but it's going to be interesting in the next decade, 2 decades to see how this has affected us. Because I'll give you an example. Like my dad was a child of parents that I guess lived through like the depression. So he has habits like we'll be eating and he makes sure that he eats every single like last grain of rice on his plate. And I'm like, why do you do that?
Trauma.
Like, I don't know. My parents used to make me do that. So I guess... So I still do it. And it was because you never knew when your next meal was during the Great Depression, right?
Shit.
So like there's going to be things that our generation is going to do like that, which is making sure we're prepared to maintain a business for 6 to 8 months to a year.
With no bread.
Because we've experienced what it's like to not be prepared for that and see people fall apart and not even be able to make it back. I have friends that were DJs that weren't able to get back in the game because they had to find other jobs and pivot. I know people in the radio industry that unfortunately, like I... thank God every day that I'm still here. But there was a lot of radio people that got cut because the company had to like stay afloat. So they started just furloughing people. Then they started cutting people.
The bottom 10%.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be. That's why when you work your ass off and all the shit that you're saying, dude, well, and you remain on the top working your ass off, yep. People notice you and you're less likely to get chopped off in one of those situations.
But a lot of those radio people now are not doing radio anymore because they had to pivot, find something else to do. And now they're just continuing to do that thing. But
so in a world of streaming, because you've been through this whole transition of music, been through it. In a world of streaming, how is radio thriving? Because it is. How do you see everything playing a part? Because to me, radio is like the equivalent of certain areas of digital marketing, like email and text marketing, right? It's an essential piece to an industry, okay? There's other parts of the industry that are evolving in different ways, but it's still a key part. How do you see radio in 2023?
So radio is no longer, at least in my opinion, a radio station. It is now a brand.
Okay.
Right. So Y100, yes, it's a radio station. We play music. We have commercials. That's how we make our money. Right. But overall, Y100 is a brand now with a digital footprint, and we can now sell ads on that digital space that we also own. We now have an audience online as well as an audience of people that listen in their car.
The hybrid.
We also have an audience of people that stream us. I was honestly shocked when they started showing me the numbers of people that will stream us from home.
Yeah,
they will literally. And you heard me do a break earlier about how I'm like, hey, if you have an Alexa at home, say Alexa, play Y100 and iHeartRadio. People do that. People download the iHeartRadio app and they listen.
I do.
Maybe because I'm jaded because I say it so often. I'm like, are people actually doing this?
I do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that I don't want to say I'm guilty, but there are certain personalities that I gravitate to in radio that I love to listen to, and I am often influenced by the things that they say. So I know that this is working, mm-hmm. right? But it's just weird for me to think that someone's listening to me recommend something and go, well, Frankie said that's cool. And I really like Frankie, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Because originally, like radio people love to say that radio people were the original influencers, which I think is kind of dorky, but they love to say it. And to an extent, it's true. Back in the day when there was only like amount of platforms, it was TV people and radio people. And you would hear what they would recommend and be like, that sounds cool. Now you have so many other, you have actual influencers on a million different platforms.
So many other perspectives, yeah.
But it does work because like I'll listen to my favorite podcast and it's another radio guy at iHeart and he'll say stuff and I'm like, I want to try that. Like, I don't even like NBA 2K, but he talks about it so much. Maybe I want to try NBA 2K now because I heard him talk about it. So like it worked. The formula works.
Yeah.
So that's what I say. It's radio went from being just us playing songs and commercials. And that was like our bread and butter is getting the money from those commercials that air while you're listening to the radio station to now to become a brand that we can do a lot more. Like they're investing more time and energy into us now becoming influencers. So we're not just radio personalities that talk on air and go home. There's the whole digital aspect.
Like you represent the brand. Yeah. All around.
You represent the brand. And now a lot of what happens in sales is they're trying to pitch influencer style campaigns around the radio personalities at all the radio stations.
Nice.
Which is, you've probably seen it on my social media where like I'll promote an event or something on social media.
Yeah.
But it's tied to the radio station.
Yeah.
The radio, it came through the radio station and then came to me instead of the, let's call it the classic way of reaching out to an influencer, which is literally going to them and saying, hey, we want you to promote this.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get
it. So they're utilizing us now in a different way. Prior to the influencer era, it was like, hey, can you record this commercial and talk about how much you love IHOP? Yeah, sure, no problem. And that was it. Now it's like, hey, can you record this commercial and can you also do a video? And we'd also love for you to, and they'll say, we need 3 TikToks and 1 Instagram reel and a post on your story. So like now they're finding new creative ways to utilize the talent for other things.
Yeah, more it's immersive.
Like, yes.
It is more immersive.
So that's how I see radio evolving. And a lot of it too is also creating that digital content that attracts people to the website or the YouTube page because we do everything from YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. And it's very well thought out how we have to do. Like we have goals we have to meet of things. Like I don't know how many influencers you've worked with, but like influencers that are on top of their game have goals set for themselves. Let's say weekly or monthly. Like I'm a YouTuber. I need to get a video out a week. Right. And that's their goal. And that's how they manage their business. And they know how much money they're going to make on average based off those posts.
Right.
That's kind of how they treat us internally. They like to make sure that we have goals that we're striving to reach.
Right.
For the sake of the whole brand.
So what I'm hearing from what you're saying is that this evolution of radio is actually bringing a lot more value to the advertisers now. Because it's not just on air, but it's it embodies who the personality, the radio personality is, all their digital platforms, and a plethora of content that could be shared across the client's social medias as well as the radio station and the host themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
But it is.
Before it was more cut, like you said, cut and dry. Let me just say this.
Record this. That worked. The thing is, that worked. That you would hear like DJ Laz be like, oh my God, meet me at the roller rink. And everybody would go because I heard DJ Laz talking about it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I remember hearing DJ Laz talk about whatever. I'd be like, I got to go check that out. I mean, Laz says it's cool. I got to go see it. You know?
Who did you listen to growing up? I know you probably listened to Elvis, DJ Laz.
It was, okay, so back in the day. You might remember, you grew up in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Like born all your life.
Born okay. Raised, yeah.
So back in the day before Elvis on Y100, there was Kenny and Footy. Do you remember Kenny and Footy?
I don't, man.
Bro, Kenny and Footy. And Kenny Walker is the guy that now announces for the Dolphins games. So if you ever go to a Dolphins game and you hear them, oh, first down, whatever. That's Kenny Walker, who's like a legend in the radio industry. And I worked with him at Kiss Country when he was there. But it used to be Kenny and Footy, and that was like a local show. And then they like disbanded, whatever happened. And then they brought Elvis in. Then I would listen to Elvis. But I also listened to other local morning shows like DJ Laz. Like, how can you live in Miami and not know who DJ Laz is?
Yeah.
Right? So those are like the people I grew up listening to. And then when I met them, I geek out. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
I trip out. I've always wanted to meet Elvis. Elvis was like, going to just on my way to middle school and high school, I listened to Elvis every morning.
Yeah.
That was
a lot of
thing.
Us did.
I would trip out meeting Elvis. I've seen you with Elvis. And, oh, shit, bring Elvis. That's so dope.
I was so shocked that he even like gave me the time of day the first time I met him, let alone him being like, hey, yo, come up to New York. I want you to come check out Z100. I'm like, you do? And he flew me out there first class. That might have been the first time I ever flew first class in my life.
Dope.
I was geeking out. I think low-key the company paid for it. I don't know. I don't ask questions. But I went up there. I had a hotel room right across the street from the radio station. I got to come in and watch.
What an amazing experience,
And the best part, it just so happened like the stars aligned that when I went that morning to like hang out and watch them do the morning show, Camila Cabello came.
Oh,
and she happened to pull up at the exact same time that I got to the radio station in the morning. So like, they're like, hey, we're going to send someone down to come get you. Just hang out because Camila's pulling up. She's going to come up with you at the same time. I'm like, sounds good to me. Okay, cool. Let's
did you
go.
Know it was Camila Cabello or they just said Camila?
No, I knew it was because she was going to be on the show. I just didn't know what time she was going to get there. And it just so happened she got there at the same time.
Okay.
So she pulls up. I had already interviewed her a bunch of times. So we're talking. Hey, what's up? We can't believe we're both Miami people both here in New York. Kind of love. This is so cool. Whatever. We're riding the elevator up. She goes in. I walk in with them. So this is my first time walking into the radio station. I walk in with Camila Cabello and her people. I just walk right in the studio. She does her interview. She performs. She leaves. I still hang out there. And at some point, somebody just assumed that I was Camila's boyfriend.
Mm.
And so then they started the rumor and they're like, why is Camila Cabello's boyfriend still sitting here? But within like an hour, they were asking this question. So we sat there doing the podcast after the morning show. Or no, we were live on air. And I said, who here started the rumor that I was Camila's boyfriend? They're like, well, you walked in with her and y'all were just chit-chatting. So it just looked that way.
Y'all had that energy going. I'm like,
oh, okay. Okay. I guess. I mean, that's cool. But like, that was a cool experience to be able to like hang out with somebody else bigger than me from Miami, walk into Elvis Duran's show. We're both geeking out because we're like, we both listen to Elvis Duran. This is so cool, right? But she gets to experience it from the artist perspective. I get to experience it from the dorky radio guy that like
coming up
listen to Elvis now wants to be like Elvis, you know what I mean? So like the whole thing, the whole experience is just like, and then to be on air and then people text you like, oh my God, I'm listening to you with Elvis. This is so crazy. Like never in a million years that I think I would ever be sitting in the same room as Elvis on air on a nationally syndicated morning show making jokes.
What an incredible moment, right?
Right? Like that was probably the peak of my entire career.
I just like visualize all you telling me that.
Yeah. I don't think anything will ever top that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of cool stuff that I've been able to do, but I don't know if I could ever top that.
That's
experience.
A special moment. It's a special moment.
Oh, for sure.
Life might surprise you and you might do some crazy shit, man.
You never know, dude.
You might find yourself interviewing Drake at his mansion in Canada.
Bro, I hope not. The most terrifying interview I ever did, like where I was genuinely like super nervous, was J-Lo.
Fuck. She's hot as hell. I'd be nervous too.
It wasn't even that. It's not even that she's hot. It's just that it's J-Lo. That's like one of the biggest
superstar
celebrities
bro.
In the world. Like yeah. you can't go anywhere in the world and someone not know who J-Lo is.
Yeah.
Right? So they hit me up. It was before she was going, that year that she did the Super Bowl.
Yeah, with Bad Bunny and Balvin and all these people.
And
yeah.
she was still with A-Rod.
That was 2020. Isn't that 2020?
It was like 19. This is like right before the pandemic. Before,
Yeah.
Wait, was it that
it was,
year?
It was February 2020, wasn't it? And then like a fucking few weeks later is when everything went
no,
down.
No, I think she did the one in 19.
19.
I want to say. Because didn't The Weeknd do 2020?
Michelle, weren't we at your house? Like when we saw the J-Lo and Bad Bunny like coming out during the Super Bowl that took place in Miami. It was in and then everybody went to live after. Was that during the 2020? I don't remember. It was either the year before or 2020.
I could tell you right now. Hold on. Let me look it up because my interview's still on.
I forgot we're in like a Joe Rogan style like room. So you're pulling up.
Yeah, we could. We could pull stuff up.
Pull up a headline.
So that was the most terrifying interview I ever had to do in my entire life because it's J-Lo. But it made it worse because at least if she were to come here to the radio station, I'm on home turf. Mm-hmm. I got home turf advantage, right? Like I'm comfortable in this environment.
Your vibes, yeah.
No. She wanted us to go to her. Mm. So we had to drive down to A-Rod's compound in like Coral Gables or something, like deep in Coral Gables. When I say compound, my guy, it was like walls, fencing, like you walk in, it's like just enormous grass and there's an enormous house here and then a smaller, like what, probably bigger than some people's houses,
guest
but it was
house,
like it was like his guest pool house.
Yeah.
It was his office.
The in-laws. Yeah.
It was like a conference room with like rooms attached to it. And that's where they set us up. And we had to get makeup done to be on camera with J-Lo. Mm. Now, I don't know if she requested it, like that we also had to have makeup, but makeup had to be done before we got on camera with
J-Lo. I hear her protocol is very, very, very
yes. That's what I said. It wouldn't surprise me. Let's see, J-Lo.
Well, that's why all her stuff looks incredible. You know, that she has a very organized team.
I can't even watch this interview because I'm so terrified. 3 years ago. So whatever 3 years ago was.
2020.
Look at me. Look, bro. Also, like 20 pounds lighter. Like,
dude. Yeah. Frank, you're literally sitting down with fucking
that's what I'm saying.
J-Lo, bro.
They caught me in 4K with J-Lo, bro.
Shitting on everybody, bro.
So that's probably number two after being with Elvis was interviewing J-Lo.
That is incredible. So do you have like a wish list of people like...
Oh, that's a good question.
I would have like...
A wish list of people that I want
to
interview?
I would love to interview Lil Wayne.
The thing is, I get so anxious before an interview that I don't think I would enjoy doing an interview with somebody. Okay, I'll give you an example. And this is... You're probably not even going to know who this is. There's this band called All Time Low.
Yeah.
I got to interview the lead singer of All Time Low on an Instagram live during the pandemic because their song blew up. They had a song with Black Bear that came out. And that might have been after J-Lo the only other time that I was nervous about interviewing somebody. But for that one, it was different because I was such a fan. Like, I don't want to say I'm a huge fan of J-Lo. It's just, it's J-Lo. But for Alex Gaskar, I was like, bro, I used to cover this man's songs when I was in a band in high school. Like, I have come full circle. This is a moment for me. And if you watch the Instagram live, which is probably on my Instagram still, you can tell, you can feel the nervous energy of me like talking to this guy. And so I don't know if I could, like, I would love to interview like John Mayer, for example.
Oh, yeah.
But that guy is so cerebral that I don't know if I would bring any value to me interviewing him because I would just be like, bro, you're so cool. And I was like, not know what to say.
What do I say?
Like, I don't know what to say next. Like, I just want to sit here and like hang out with you, bro. Like, yeah. I wouldn't know what to ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So wish list, John Mayer. I did Alex. That was cool. I don't know, man. I don't think I have very many.
You haven't thought about it.
The thing is, again, I'm jaded because I've interviewed so many artists.
You've already been in
it's a job.
You've seen a lot of people. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a job.
But you have such a positive attitude. How do you always like remain positive? Like every time I see you, you're in a great mood, bro. I mean, I know sometimes life kicks you in the balls and yeah, for everybody, but how do you like always keep that energy, man?
Okay, that's a good question because I'll be honest with you, we were just talking about this the other day. My coworker Sammy Joe, who does Middays on Y, she goes, she saw me walk in and I was like dead tired. I don't remember what it was. It might have been the day after Jingle Ball or something. Dead tired. Because we do Jingle Ball on Sunday and we still have to come to work on Monday. Monday should be a holiday after Jingle Ball. Whatever. So I come in, I'm like mad tired, exhausted, whatever. And me and her had to cut a couple breaks together for the afternoon show, whatever it was. And I went from being all like tired and like annoyed and flustered to like, hey, what's going on? It's Frankie P. And she was like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I think I've just been doing this so long that I just know how to like turn it on and then do it. But like some of the hardest days I've ever had are the ones where like mentally you're not in a good place, but your job is to
be
appear to be in a really good, because I can't come on air and be mopey.
Yeah.
Because people come to me as an escape, even if it's only for like 5 to 10 minutes in their car when they're driving from point A to point B. They don't want to hear me complaining. Yeah. They want to hear something doom entertaining and fun. Like, think about if you went to go see Kevin Hart and he was having a bad day, and instead of going up there and telling jokes, he's like, hey guys, so like, I'm having a bad day. Yeah. Like, you'd be like, that's not what I paid for. Yeah. That's not what I expected. That's not what I paid for. I want my money back. So it's part of being in this business. You know how it is. Sometimes you got to be, how many times have you shown up to a meeting and you're like, I'm not in the mood to be in a meeting right now. I'm not in the mood to pitch something. I'm not in the mood to record this video right now. I'm not in the mood to do this podcast, but it's on the schedule.
All the time. I don't feel like doing this.
Yes.
I have to do this. I have to be on camera. I've had personal shit happen where like I literally want to cry.
Yeah.
Like literally I want to cry.
Yeah.
And it's like cameras are on. All right.
Yep.
Podcast. Hustle Inspires Hustle Podcast. Alex Quinn. There. Blah, blah, blah. Yep.
There was a time when like working at Y100, there were some very toxic people working here. And I would literally like go from crying in a studio by myself after some like messed up stuff happened to me to having to walk over to like the room where the green screens were and have to do something on camera with an artist.
Yeah.
Right after.
Yeah.
There was one time I was recording a show and I found out my grandmother died. And I was on the phone saying bye to her as she was like about to like peace out. And I had to turn back into the studio and finish doing like a morning show right after. Like,
holy shit, man. So,
and you would have never known. You could probably go back. I couldn't even tell you when it happened, but you could go back in like the podcast and find that episode. You would have no idea that that just happened. Yeah. But I think it's just part of being in this industry for so long. You learn how to fake it.
Yeah.
When you need to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying fake it all the time, but it's almost like those artists.
Suppress the feelings to not ruin the moment.
Yeah.
Because you're an entertainer.
Like you're able to, I think the better word is compartmentalize, where like
correct.
you can like put it aside for a second, focus on what you need to do it to the best of your ability, and then revisit those feelings and that whatever situation is, and then allow it to manifest itself in whatever way that may be.
Yeah, but you know, you're mentioning that, but regardless, when you're off mic or off camera, you're still like, that's the thing. Some people are like super cool and then the cameras are off and they're like blah.
There are a lot of people that are like that.
Blah.
Yes.
Don't talk to me. I don't know. But, and you know what I'm saying? You are Frankie. You're just Frankie.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I try to be positive. I mean, even on days where I'm not having a good day, I try to be a glass half full guy, even though I'm not always a glass half full guy.
Yeah.
But the whole manifesting thing works even. What was that book? The Secret? Is that what it was?
The Secret, yeah.
Which was basically about manifesting.
Yeah.
I feel like you can manifest a good mood.
You can brainwash yourself into thinking you're in a good
mood. That you're having a good, like I saw a statistic recently that's like, if you smile, you're more likely to feel happy even if you're not happy.
Yeah.
Like just the act of smiling, physically making yourself appear happy will make you, give you a more positive attitude. But like, you just caught me in a good day. Like I got nothing to be upset about right now. So that's probably why I'm like extra peppy.
You know what supposedly works really well when you stand in Superman position?
I've heard that too.
It lowers your cortisol and raises your testosterone. Only doing it for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes, you look like a total dumbass doing it. I'll do it in my bathroom like an asshole, so I don't nobody's looking at me standing Superman pose.
But I can do that in here. I mean, that's funny. You know what I randomly started doing to hype myself up? Do you remember? This is going to be so like random. Do you remember the Nicolas Cage movie about the cars? I think it's called like Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
You know, right before they're about to like go and steal the cars, he's like, hold on, we got to hype ourselves up. And they play the song Lowrider, and yeah. He's just like standing there taking it, and he's like, all right, let's go. Yeah. I started doing that and it worked.
Music helps.
I would literally just start playing that exact song. I'm like, well, if it worked for Nicolas Cage, which is such a stupid thing to say.
It's not, but music, but every time I'm feeling sad, I'll turn some music on and I'm reading a book called Stealing Fire. And it talks about how when people play music, like specifically couples, when music is being played in a room where there is a couple, they're like 20 to 30% more likely to touch each other more.
Okay.
Hug each other more, show more affection, have sex, like. Or people in groups, when you tend to play music, they tend to then dance or communicate more. And then the vibes, like the stress levels start going down. So music actually changes you. Like,
well, that's why I play this. This is the song. It's so stupid, but it's from that one scene. And they're just all standing in a circle and they're just like taking it in. And then he's like, all right, we got it. And then they just turn the music off and they walk out and steal all the cars.
You're going to catch me tomorrow morning in my bathroom, Superman pose, bumping, listening to that. Lowrider.
The George Lopez song, by the way, for anyone that doesn't know what that is,
yeah,
it's
George
the song
Lopez.
From the George all Lopez show intro. Yes. Friends. Yes.
No, no.
Nah, 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 nah. This one. So stupid.
Frankie's showing off his radio skills, putting music in the middle of the pot. We've never done this on Hustle Inspires Hustle, by the way.
This is so stupid. There's like no words to it. Well, kind of, but you get the point.
Yo, Frankie, dude, this has been incredible, man. I really wanted to do this because I knew we were going to have a great conversation and we were going to touch on a lot of points that are important for people to learn from. Yeah, you do a lot of cool shit, bro. Yeah, you interview J-Lo and shit like that, and you hang out with Elvis Duran and Camila Cabello, but there's a lot that people don't know about.
Yeah,
when it comes to this. You talked about a lot of those important main points, and that's the purpose of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast, for us to share our experience about what we're doing for people behind us or coming up or even on the same boat that we're on to be able to get some keys that they could use in order for them to be successful and make their life a little bit better.
Yeah. Props to you for doing this, by the way, because I feel like a lot of people might be like, I don't want to give away my secrets, so I'm not going to tell anybody and give them any pointers. They got to learn along the way by struggling. And instead, you're like, here's how we struggled. Here's what you shouldn't do. Take our advice. You know, I think that's dope.
I've had mentors and you know that. I mean, you've had mentors. Yeah.
I always try to pay it forward.
Exactly.
Always.
Help the next person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, those are connections that one day might help you. I mean, we don't do it for that reason. Like, it's like saying, oh, I do things for good karma. You shouldn't do things for good karma, but just know that by doing good things, it'll come back to you one day.
And you could change somebody's whole existence. Somebody's whole existence. Like the story you told us about when like you crashed or you got sick and then you took time to take care of yourself and see a doctor for physical health, see a doctor for mental health. Like so many people are so prideful and full of ego that can't maybe share something like that because everything always has to be so picture perfect. Everything's not picture perfect. Before I came on this podcast today, I was super sad this afternoon, bro. Like, I was so sad and like that I got a headache and I had to sleep off the afternoon because I was like, I can't show up to the studio with some like bullshit ass energy for Frankie. Like, I need to clear my mind. And sometimes days go like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I had a day like that on Monday where I just Tuesday. I just randomly had anxiety for no reason.
Yeah.
I was just anxious all afternoon. It happens.
You know what what's helping me with that? Yoga. I've been doing like 15 to 30 minute yoga
I'm
sessions every
that.
Day.
I told you, once you hit 30, like
fuck
the flexibility,
me.
Like I can't do all that, bro.
You
like
do it, man.
You asking for too much.
Get it. Go to a cold, like cryotherapy, like cold plunge. Try
they
that.
They had that at my gym, but they charge extra for it. And I'm too cheap to pay the extra.
It sucks ass because it's cold as fuck, but it's so good, man.
I'm good. I'll pass. But I appreciate the offer.
We're going to go one day, man.
Maybe. You know what?
I'll pay for it.
If you say it's for content, then you could probably convince me to go because I'll do almost anything for content at this point.
Yo, Frankie, thank you so much for giving us the space. We're in your studio right now. Not a lot of people allow people into their space, into their workspace. This is so cool, man. It's been an experience for, and we're here with Enrique and Michelle, and you gave us a tour of iHeart here. This is great, man. We're grateful for your time. It really means a lot to us.
I'm glad you guys came. Hopefully, if you made it this far in the podcast, you learned something. You took something away.
Where do we find you on social? Where are you most active?
Everything. At It's Frankie P, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
FrankiePie.
It's, you got to put the it's too.
Yeah.
We were talking about how someone already has Frankie P. So it's Frankie P.
Okay. Well, you heard it, guys. This is Alex Quinn, Frankie P from Miami at iHeart Y100, Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuin. See you on the next episode.